بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the chapter of the book of Salah and the prescribed times for Salah from Umdat al-Ahkam. And we have reached, we already concluded an important introduction regarding the prescribed times of Salah. Now we're going to go to the narrations. And this is narration 45. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الفجر فيشهد معه نساء من المؤمنات متلفعات بمروطهن ثم يرجعن إلى بيوتهن ما يعرفهن أحد من الغلس. نعم. Aisha, the narrator, is Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. May Allah be pleased with her, radiallahu anha. And we spoke about her biography in hadith number 3. In this narration, she says that she used, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to offer the Fajr prayer, and some believing women covered with their veiling sheets used to attend the Fajr prayer with him. Then they would return to their homes unrecognized because of what? There is missing in the translation of the hadith here. Because of ghalas. Because of ghalas. Ghalas is the mixing of the daylight, the daybreak light, with that of the night, with that of the night, and the darkness is predominant. The darkness is still predominant. This is the meaning of ghalas. Mixing of the break day light with that of the night, with the darkness being predominant. So here Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha, makes it clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray the Fajr, and that this therefore was in an early time, in an early time, to the extent that the believing woman who attended the prayer, they would return to their homes covered with their veiling sheets. None would know them because of the predominance of the dark, meaning it is still early Fajr time. So this hadith therefore emphasizes the fact that the Prophet ﷺ used to do the Fajr at its early time. At its early time. The Fajr, the true Fajr, is that which breaks the darkness, is known as Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. The true Fajr is that which breaks the darkness, because it extends from the north to the south and connects with the horizon, and there is no darkness afterwards. There is no darkness afterwards. This is the true Fajr. This is the true Fajr, so as to differentiate it from the false Fajr. So as to differentiate it from the false Fajr. The false Fajr differs from the true Fajr in three things. First, the false Fajr is longitudinal, meaning it goes up words longitudinally. The second, it is not connected with the horizon. It is not connected with the horizon, because there is darkness between it and between the horizon. There is darkness. The third difference is that it dissipates and goes away. It dissipates and goes away. This is the third. Yes. The second benefit from this hadith is the permissibility for women to attend Salat al-Fajr in congregation with the condition that there is no potential fitna, affliction, due to their presence in the congregational prayer. And the next benefit is the hastening of the woman who attend this congregational prayer under these circumstances is to return to their home during the dark period. And from the benefits of this hadith is that the woman, if she goes out, she covers and veils herself, because this is more protective of her. These are the benefits from this hadith. Now we move to the next hadith. So therefore, in conclusion, what is the main important conclusion we were able to understand from this narration is that the Fajr prayer, the Prophet ﷺ used to do that at early Fajr time, which is known as ghalas. Now we move to the next hadith, hadith 46. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة والعصر والشمس نقية والمغرب إذا وجبت والعشاء أحيانا وأحيانا إذا رآهم اجتمعوا عجل وإذا رآهم أبطأوا أخر والصبح كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصليها بغلس. حديث أبو جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه that he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray the ظهر بالهاجرة at midday. والعصر والشمس نقية, and the عصر at time when the sun was still bright. والمغرب إذا وجبت, and the maghrib after sunset at its stated time, sunset. والعشاء أحيانا وأحيانا, and the عشاء at a variable time. Whenever he saw the people assembled for Isha prayer, he would pray earlier. And if the people delayed, he would delay the prayer. And they, or the Prophet ﷺ, used to offer the Fajr prayer when it's still dark, at ghalas time. The ghalas again. Okay? The narrator is Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and his biography was given during the discussion of hadith number 35. And in this hadith, the subject of this hadith is the explanation as to when the Prophet ﷺ used to offer the five daily prayers. So, hadith Jabir, this hadith, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, tells about the timing timing of the prescribed prayers which the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, so as to make it clear for people the commencement of these times. And the reason that he made this clear, because the Hajjaj, when he came to Medina in the year 74, as the person in authority over Medina, assigned by Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he began to delay the timings of Salah. So people asked Jabir about the Salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so he explained to them that he used to pray the Salat of Dhuhr right after the zenith, in the middle of the day after the zenith, right after the zenith, and that the Asr before the brightness of the sun changes, and that he used to pray the Maghrib at the sunset, at sunset, at its stated time, and prays the Fajr during Ghalas. Ghalas, we know how the meaning of Ghalas, before the brightness of the day dissipates, where it is still dark. All of these prayers, the Prophet ﷺ would begin them at their early times, except the Isha, where he used to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give consideration to the congregation. Once he sees that the congregation are present or is present, he would hasten to perform the Isha prayer. He would pray it earlier, and so that there can be no difficulty and hardship upon them. And if he would see that they were delayed, the people were delayed, then he would delay the prayer. Because delaying the Isha is more beloved to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we will come to know. So from the benefits of this hadith, first, that the permissibility to do the Salah in their early times, except the Isha, and from this we know that the Prophet ﷺ used to give consideration to the status of the believers. And he would pray earlier the Isha if they gather, although he would love to delay it. And if he would see that they were delayed, he would delay the prayer, also in consideration to them, and also because of the merit of delaying it. The second benefit is the good care of the Prophet ﷺ concerning his ummah, and that the imam or the leader should do that which the benefits entail, that which is entailed as a benefit, or do that which brings benefit, as long as there is no opposition to the Sharia, like doing something haram or abandoning an obligation. And from this we conclude another benefit is that the imam should also be considerate regarding the affairs of the people, in terms of delaying or praying early, especially in Salat al-Isha, especially in Salat al-Isha. Should also we make analogy to other prayers, meaning if we see people delayed in that where the sunnah is to make early, should we delay? The answer is yes. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hastened that whose sunnah is to delay in consideration to the situation of people. And wherefore we can delay that which is a sunnah to make it early, and there is no difference. Like for example, if there is a masjid in a building or in an area where there are people employed busy with their works, and they will all be done with their works at the end of the time, should we say here that delaying the salah to consider their gathering, or shouldn't we? The answer is we should. If this is easier for them and less of a hardship upon them. But if this is easier for the lazy, and that the active ones like to make it early, then there is no consideration to the lazy ones. From this also we conclude, from this hadith, that the person may be excused for the delay as long as he does not fear the end of time of the prescribed prayer. Because the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, used to pray early or delay in accordance with the conditions. Because there could be rain or darkness or wind which necessitates the delay. And from the benefits of this hadith is the sunnah is to pray the Salat al-Fajr early. Because in the hadith, and that he prayed that in while it was still dark in Ghalas. Should one also differentiate between the time between winter and summer in regard to praying the Fajr early or not? Ghalas is spelled like this. Should one also differentiate, therefore, between winter and summer time in regard to praying Fajr early or not? Some are with the opinion that yes, delaying the Salat al-Fajr during the summer because people don't sleep except a few hours during the night, and that one should pray the Salat al-Fajr earlier in the winter, because people sleep longer hours and they come active to the masjid. So if the Imam sees the benefit therein, then he may do so. He may make this differentiation. If the Imam sees a benefit, then he may conclude this differentiation and practice it. Now, how can one respond to the hadith, on the other hand, in Sunan Abi Dawood, which is taken by some as a proof to delay the Fajr time until the daylight is dominant? They took, this means this hadith, the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, their evidence, أَسْفِرُوا بِالْفَجْرِ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْظَمُ لِأُجُورِكُمْ. Offer the Fajr prayer. أَسْفِرُوا. We'll use this term and see what it means. أَسْفِرُوا. Make isfar. They took, and that most, at the end of the hadith is, or the rest of the hadith, most productive of rewards to you is this time. So this, they said that this means to delay the Fajr until the light is dominant. However, this is responded to from two angles. First, that this means to be sure that the break of the dawn has occurred. That the term asfiru here refers to affirming the break of the dawn, to make sure that the break of the dawn has occurred. Or the other meaning is to lengthen the recitation in Salah, for it is recommended. And if they do so, then people will not leave the Salah until Isfar time, until the daylight predominates, because of the lengthening of the recitation. And in this way, the narrations on making the Salah early at Fajr, for Fajr, in the earlier Fajr period, and this hadith reconcile, and there should be no problem. Now, if in some communities the Imam still takes by this latter hadith of Sunan Abi Dawood, and they pray during the Isfar time, when the predominance of the daylight, then in this case you pray with them, and don't take this as an excuse to pray at home and leave the Jama'ah. This is the hadith of Jabir. From the benefits of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used also to offer the Salat al-Asr at its early time, and this is the Sunnah, because he described the sun to be bright in the text. In another narration, the narration by Abdullah bin Amr, as in Sahih Muslim, Volume 1, Hadith 1275, which is another famous hadith for the prescribed times of Salah. Hadith Abdullah bin Amr, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the time of noon prayer is when the sun passes the meridian. إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسُ وَكَانَ ظِلُّ الرَّجُلِ كَطُولِهِ, and a man's shadow is the same length as his height, and it lasts, meaning the noon, as long as the time for the afternoon prayer has not come. And then he said, وَوَقْتُ صَلَاةُ الْعَصْرِ, and the time of the Asr prayer, the evening prayer, is as long as the, and the time for the afternoon prayer, the Asr, is as long as the sun has not become pale. And then, وَوَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الْمَغْرِبِ, and as to the time of the evening prayer, is as long as the twilight has not ended. وَوَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاء, and that the time for the Isha prayer is as long as up to the middle of the average night. And then وَوَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ, from the time of the morning prayer is from the appearance of dawn, as long as the sun has not risen. So this is another narration, a famous one on the prescribed times of Salah. So here he mentioned concerning the Asr prayer that the time of the afternoon prayer is as long as the sun has not become pale. And the time of the afternoon, he said, begins from the end of Dhuhr time and thus there is no common time between the Dhuhr and Asr. And then he said it continues as long as the sun has not become pale. And this is known that the sun is bright, but when it moves towards setting, it turns pale. And then in another narration in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim concerning al-Asr, that anyone who catches a rak'ah from Asr before the sun sets, he's able to perform one rak'ah before the sun sets, then he has met the Asr. From this we conclude that there are two times for Asr, two times between parentheses, a time of the choice, and that is which extends from the end of Dhuhr until the sun turns pale. And then the other time is the time of necessity. From this time when it turns pale until the sun sets. So this is concerning the Asr. And with respect to the Maghrib, there are important benefits regarding the understanding of this timing. He said in this hadith that the timing, the entrance of the time of Maghrib, is when the sun sets, and as long as the twilight has not ended, as long as the twilight has not ended. And this is referred to the red twilight, which is the light which follows the sun in its setting. As long as this redness continues, then the time of Maghrib is not over yet. And when this redness disappears, then the time is over and the Isha time begins. So therefore, from this we conclude that the time of Maghrib is not as thought by some people, that it is very restricted, limited. But as you can tell now, it extends from sunset until the disappearance of the red twilight, where the Isha time begins, when the Isha time begins. And that the Isha time begins from this setting of the twilight, red light, until the middle of the average night, or the middle of the night in general. It is okay to say that. As to the saying of some of the scholars that the Isha has two times, a time of necessity and a time of the choice, and that the time of the choice is to the middle of the night, and that the time of necessity extends to the dawn time or the dawn break. These scholars took as proof the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which is reported in Sahih Muslim, لَيْسَ فِي النَّوْمِ تَفْرِيطٌ, there is no negligence in sleeping. Rather, the negligence is in the one who delays the salah until the time of the next salah commences. This hadith, however, is, as you can tell, is mujmal, is general, and it is explained as in the sunnah. So this is the first response. This is general, and it is particularized and explained in the sunnah as to the actual timings in clarity. Similarly, their use of this hadith as the proof itself is a proof against their conclusion when they said that the time of Fajr is separate from the time of Dhuhr. In this case, therefore, they didn't take by the generality of this hadith. This ikhtilaf, this difference of opinion, has its consequences. take, for example, if a woman a menstruating woman became pure after the middle of the night. So according to the preponderating opinion that the Isha time is until the middle of the night, therefore it is not incumbent upon her to pray Salat al-Isha because she became pure after the middle of the night, after the Isha time, according to this preponderating opinion. And in accordance with the other opinion, it is binding upon her because the time of Isha, which they consider the time of necessity, it's still there. You understand? You understand that this difference has its consequences with respect to certain rulings. So the preponderating opinion is explicitly stated in this hadith of Abdullah bin Amr when he said the time of Isha is until the middle of the night. And this particularizes the general hadith which we mentioned earlier, concerning the one who delays the salah as being the negligent one. So therefore the timing, the prescribed times are five. All of them are connected except one, and that is the Fajr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed to this in Surah Al-Isra 78, verse 1778. قال الله تعالى أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل. Perform a salah from the midday إلى غسق الليل, to the darkness of the night. So this, all of this Allah considered as one time. Duluk al-Shams refers to the Zawal, when the sun passes the meridian, the Zawal. How to recognize the Zawal? The Zawal is the declining of the sun from the meridian. This is the definition. That is because when the sun rises, then an erect object will have a shade in the direction of the west. This shade will continue to decrease in a degree proportional to the rise of the sun in the horizon until it stops diminishing at one point, until the shade stops from diminishing at one point. Then, if it increases after its stop, even by the width of a single hair, then this is the Zawal. Then this is the beginning of the Zawal. This is the beginning of Dhuhr. As to calculating it by hours, then you divide the time between sunrise until sunset. This will be the zawal. So assume that the sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6. So the zawal is 12. The zawal is 12. This is the meridian. It's 12. And if the sun rises at 7 a.m. and sets at 7 p.m., then the zawal will be at 1 o'clock, which would be 1 p.m. according to the hour, to the clock. So, in conclusion here, the times of Salah were generally indicated by the Quran. So he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this previous verse, أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل, established the Salah from the midday till the darkness of the night. And when he said till the darkness of the night, this means when the darkness is finished, is completed. And this occurs at the middle of the night, because this is when the sun is in its farthest position from the earth. This is as indicated generally by the Quran and the Sunnah in details. In the Sunnah in details. And the Prophet ﷺ, estimated it in these ways. Because at his time, there were no clocks. Now, in our times, we can estimate it by that. That the time of Dhuhr is the middle between the sunrise time until sunset. And the time for Fajr is from the day break until the sun rises. And this is almost 90 minutes. It may increase and decrease. Also from sunset until the disappearance of the red twilight is also 90 minutes, plus or minus. However, this increase and decrease in the Salat al-Fajr is unrelated to the increase and decrease in Salat al-Maghrib time. Because in fact, the period between sun, between daybreak until sunrise may become longer, and it may diminish with that time, which may diminish with respect to the, or let's say it may be less between sun setting until the disappearance of the twilight, and they may be equal, and they may even one of them increase the other, be more than the other. And with respect to the Dhuhr and Asr, some people say that you divide the time between Zawal, between the meridian and sunset, into two, and you add to it twenty minutes. and this will begin the afternoon time. Our Shaykh rahimahullah said, I followed this and investigated it many times, and I found that it is not really coherent. Because the path of the sun differs during the winter as well as during the summer. With respect to the winter and summer, they differ. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, all of these times has been studied carefully, and they came in details for a whole year calendar. However, one should be careful, particularly with respect to the Fajr, and try to determine this more accurately with respect to their communities, because there could be some errors in some communities. We'll move to the next hadith, and this hadith carries number 47. عن أبي المنهال صيار بن سلامة قال narrated أبو المنهال صيار بن سلامة رضي الله تعالى عنهما. He said, دخلت أنا وأبي على أبي برزة الأسلمي رضي الله عنه. My father and I went to Abu Barza al-Maslami, and my father said to him, كيف كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المكتوبة? Tell us how Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to offer the compulsory congregational prayers. He said, كان يصلي الهجيرة التي تدعونها الأولى حين تضحض الشمس. He used to pray the Dhuhr prayer, which you call the first prayer, as the sun declined at noon. ويصلي العصر ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله من أقصى المدينة والشمس حية. And the Asr at a time when one of us could go to his family at the farthest place in Medina while the sun was still hot. ونسيت ما قال في المغرب. The narrator forgot what Abu Zar'a had said about the Maghrib. وكان يستحب أن يؤخر من العشاء التي تدعونها العتمة. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم used to return, preferred to pray the Isha late. وكان يستحب أن يؤخر من العشاء التي تدعونها العتمة وكان يكره النوم قبلها والحديث بعدها. And he used to dislike to sleep before the Isha or talk after it. وكان ينفتل من صلاة الغداة حين يعرف الرجل جليسه وكان يقرأ بالستين إلى المئة. And he used to return after finishing the morning prayer at such a time when it was possible for one to recognize the person sitting by his side. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, used to recite 60 to 100 verses of the Quran in it. And he used to return after finishing the morning prayer at such a time when it was possible for one to recognize the person sitting by his side, and he, the Prophet ﷺ, used to recite 60 to 100 verses of the Quran in it. The narrators, Abu al-Minhal Sayyar bin Salama al-Riyahi al-Basri rahimahullah, trustworthy from the Tabi'een, from the successors to the companions. He died in the year 129 after Hijrah رحمه الله. And Abu Barza Nadla bin Ubaid or Ibn Abdullah al-Aslami رضي الله عنه is a companion who accepted Islam and attended the conquest of Khaybar and Mecca and At-Ta'if. And he was the one who killed Ibn Khatal, during the opening of Mecca, while Ibn Khatal was clinging to the curtains of the Kaaba, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him, where he, this man Ibn Khatal, used to insult the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. He was known for that. He, this companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Barza, dwelled in Al-Basra later, and then he moved to Khurasan in the east, and then attended the fight against the dissident of the Khawarij in the Ahwaz, and then he died in the city of Maru in the year 65 after Hijrah. This hadith again tells of the times in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the salah, the five compulsory prayers. The overall explanation of this, the overall explanation of this hadith. The Tabi'un, كان التابعون رحمهم الله, the successors of the companions, to the companions, used to ask as to the times of Salah as done by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And maybe this was a due, this was due to the reason that some of the leaders then used to delay the salah from its prescribed times. And in this hadith, the question to Abi Barza al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu came from Sulam al-Riyahi, one of the successors, asking the companion concerning the Prophet's times. So he explained to him the timing, and we explained much of this earlier. So we'll focus on the things which are different in this hadith. From this he mentioned that concerning Salat al-Asr, the Asr at a time when one of us could go to his family at the farthest place in Medina while the sun was still hot. And another narration, bright and high in the sky. This indicates the early performance of Salat al-Asr, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yastahibbu, he used to like or love to delay the Isha until its latter time, such that he would
be done with Isha before the middle of the night. The more he delayed, the more this was beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, one night he came out and he found that people already went to sleep, women and children. And he said, and when most of the night had gone, he said, إِنَّهُ لَوَقْتُهَا. This is its time. Meaning, it's best time. لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. But I am afraid that this will make it hard on my ummah. And this is very clear proof that the best is to delay the Isha. So therefore, if people are in jama'ah, in congregation, in some place, and traveling, say, and we know that we are not going to go to sleep early, then in this case, it is better for us to delay the salah for Isha. And from this is the salah of women in their homes. It is better for them to delay it till before the end of its time, because this is the thing which was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it was beloved to him. But however, also still the Prophet ﷺ was considerate of the people's situations, as discussed earlier. If he would find the jama'ah already in congregation, he would make it early. And if the people delayed, he would delay it. And that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to dislike sleeping before Salat al-Isha. Because if the person goes to sleep, then in the case his sleep is deep, then he will miss the Isha. Or otherwise he will be worried. Unable to sleep properly. So if he is told to wake up for salah, his situation will not be that which would bring tranquility. He would be lazy, doesn't even know what to say, what he says in the salah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to dislike sleeping before the Isha. Is this dislike a legal dislike, or is it just a self-dislike? It's possible to be either way. However, if we look at the causes, it becomes preponderant that it is a legal dislike. But suppose in a case a person may be tired during the day, and if he sleeps for 1 hour between Maghrib and Isha, and he becomes active, restores some of his activity, in this case, the sleep with respect to such a situation is not disliked, because he intends from this sleep to gain strength to perform the worship and to come up front to it with motivation. And this occurs a lot with many people. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also disliked to talk after Isha. Dislike, not forbid. Why? Because sitting and talking after Isha necessitates delaying going to sleep. And this also overall may lead the person to miss the night prayer and possibly Salat al-Fajr. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this to dislike talking, even permissible talk. Certainly if the talk is haram, then it is haram to sit and talk. And unfortunately this is what is done by many people in our times. They stay late after Isha doing haram things. Some sitting in circles, wal-iyad billah, dominated by ghiba, by backbiting, and some in places of in places where haram practices are done. Night clubs, sitting listening to music, sitting clinging to TV screens, changing from one station to another, following movies and soap operas, and you name it. All of this necessitates that he may start imitating the behavior of some of these actors. Much of that now is present in most of the Muslim societies. People spend this precious time of the night doing these things which could only bring harm upon themselves. In addition, sleeping during the early part of the night by agreement amongst the health professionals, it is better for the body from the sleep during the latter part of the night. The scholars, rahimahumullah, excluded certain things from this. Some social light talk with family or with guests, and there is no harm in that, because this is affirmed by the Sunnah. And similarly it is the case regarding cases of knowledge, matters of knowledge, then there is no harm. For in fact Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to stay at night to memorize the narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam commanded him to make witr before he goes to bed, before he sleeps. So therefore, if there is a benefit, like entertaining a guest or socializing with people, family and children, or knowledge which is beneficial to people, then this is not makruh, this is not disliked, and it takes the ruling therefore in relation to the benefits which may be gained. As to Salat al-Fajr, here he mentioned, as to Salat al-Fajr, in the hadith he mentioned وكان ينتفل من صلاة الغداة حين يعرف الرجل جليسه.
And he used to return after finishing the morning prayer at such a time when it was possible for one to recognize the person sitting by his side. And used to recite 60 to 100 verses of the Quran in it. Meaning the person who is near to you. This indicates that he is able to recognize him because of the dawn light. And this indicates that the Prophet ﷺ used to begin his Salat al-Fajr early. And he used to recite 60 to 100 verses.
These estimates, the companions informed us of these estimates because they didn't have clocks. And they didn't have all these lights in the masajid. So they resorted to these estimations. And there is no doubt that this is to bring the thing closer to the understanding. Otherwise, it is known that recognizing a person close to you differs with regard to the intensity of sight of a person and the clarity of the environment around you. And other causes. However, it is known therefore from this that the issue with the companions is that they were simple, not deeply complicated. They mention things to bring closer understanding. So here, they mentioned that they estimated 60 to 100 verses. And people differ in terms of their recitations. Also, the verses may differ. Some verses are shorter than others. So, what will be the criteria? The criteria is to take the middle course. And if we take by the line in this case as a criteria, then the line would be the middle course. And in the recitation, we take the middle between the one who recites quickly and the one who recites slowly. And that the recitation of 60 to 100 verses by the Prophet ﷺ, this is overall, not all the time. And this does not contradict the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, if anyone of you leads the people in prayer, then let him lighten the salah. The criteria here for lightening is the sunnah. So anything which agrees with the sunnah, it is light and it is the perfect. And therefore one should not abandon the sunnah because of the boredom of some followers in salah. On the other hand, it is not binding to recite the 100. Another benefit from this 60 to 100 verses, this indicates that the sunnah in the recitation of Fajr is to lengthen it. This, inshallah ta'ala, is the last point of benefit regarding the explanation of this hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit and understood and applied correctly by myself and for all those who listen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, reward you
abundantly for your tentative stay. And make our actions sincere for His face, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make us from those who hasten to apply and revive the sunnah in themselves and in those around them. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.